2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about setting up your own source of financing. And I'm very curious about this. Joining me today is Mark Willis. He is a certified financial planner and the owner of Lake Growth Financial Services. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. How do I become my own source of financing? I mean, do I have to become federally insured, create a bank in my house or what?
Well, that would be nice. I'm not saying don't do that. And if you don't mind, I need a loan. No, I'm just joking. You're right. To open a bank like the ones we know about, you'd need about $100 million roughly and FDIC insurance and a bank charter, which can take a decade or two to get that. That's all just to open up a small little bank branch down the street, you know, mom and pop bank.
Wow, no problem.
Exactly.
I'm already 9 years in. I've only got 1 year left to wait.
Well, we all know that banking is a part of life. In fact, there was a book out there written recently by David Graeber. The name of the book is Debt, the First 5,000 Years. And that, to me, says a lot. This is the title itself, Heather, says banking is about as fundamental to the human experience as about anything else, art. And I'm willing to bet that for the next 5,000 years, there's probably going to be banking involved as well. And there's a reason for it. I mean, look at any town in small town USA or big town USA. What is the largest building in your town? It's probably the bank. And at least it is here in Chicago area. Banks are very often the most profitable business in the world, and there's a reason for it. So I always say we're in the banking business, no matter if you have a small business that you run or if you're just living paycheck to paycheck, you are in the banking business. I'll give a quick stat. We've got a third of our income on average, 37% of our income, according to the U.S. Commerce Bureau, goes to paying debts and financing. Credit cards and more.
Right. So that would include mortgages or rent.
Yep.
The credit card, student loans, but all of those, even if you're paying rent, you're paying that to a landlord who has a loan on the property that you're renting. And
Correct.
So they are using the bank for that loan and your credit card is a bank. And
Heather, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a wonderful conversation recently with a doctor who made a very good income, six figures, and he was very proud of his income, rightfully so, and did very good for his patients. And he was also proud of his 401k. His 401k was getting him, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, he had about 12% per year annual return. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
And yet, as we started having a one-on-one over Zoom, we had a phone call conversation over Zoom where I kind of looked into his situation, offered him free consultation like I do with anybody. And as we discussed some of his overall arrangements with his finances, come to find out he had two mortgages, you know, he had a boat, a couple of car loans, credit cards, student loan debt from medical school. All of it equaled about $80,000 a year in interest only payments. And so that was about a third of his annual income just to service the debt.
Yeah,
so,
that's not even touching the actual amount that you borrowed. That you're saying that's just the interest that's accruing on the amount
correct.
He borrowed.
Correct. And so we looked at the comparison. I said, well, you've got a 12% a year on your 401k, and you've got about 34% of your money going out the back door to banks, credit cards, and finance companies. Which of these is guaranteed? Well, the debt is guaranteed.
Right.
The 401k is not. Which of these is taxable? No, the 401k is taxable. So are you moving forward or backward? And it was a jaw-dropping moment for him, as it is with so many of us. We think we might be doing well when we're actually losing ground. So it's not to say anything about him. We're all in this boat together. And it doesn't matter if you make $250,000 a year or $40,000 a year. If we have most of our money, even if you're half as bad as the average, right?
Right.
That's still a good chunk of our day where we are working for the bank, not for ourselves. And part of our work at Lake Growth Financial Services is to say, let's find a better way. You know, let's find a better way than to just work for the bank.
Okay. And so you're saying a better way is for us to self-bank. How does one go about that?
I'm going to throw kind of a funny analogy out there first.
Okay.
And the question is, what is the opposite of fragile? And let's let your audience think about that for a second. Like, you hear the word fragile, you think, you know, able to be broken easily, shatters upon pressure. What is the opposite of fragile? Most people would say strong or sturdy, but that's technically not an opposite. The opposite of fragile is gets stronger under pressure.
Mm.
And there's really not an English word for this. There are some in other languages, but, you know, we might think of the idea of hormesis. It's an old Greek word. But what it is it's anytime you're under pressure and you can actually be stronger as a result, that's the opposite of fragile. So when I work out or when we work out, right, that's us getting stronger. So the idea is either we pay debts to a bank and we live on that system, that treadmill, the debts cycle,
right.
Or we pay cash for things, which may or may not be a great way to go. It's certainly better than maybe paying interest to a bank. But what if you could actually benefit from the banking system by becoming your own source of financing? That's getting stronger under pressure. That's anti-fragile, as it were. So that's what I mean when I say self-banking. Not just paying cash for things. Paying cash is not the answer. You know, the idea of paying cash is you save up money in a savings account and then it drops to zero. And as soon as you buy the car or the kids' college, what I'm thinking about is how much interest do you earn on money that you withdraw out of a savings account?
If it's just a regular savings account, it's like 0.02%,
yeah.
Which is nothing. I do have some money in a high yield interest account, which gets me 0.75%.
It's always good when they are as generous to give us 0.75%. I agree. but once I withdraw it out of my bank account, I earn nothing on money I've withdrawn,
right?
So every time I buy something, whether it's a cup of coffee or a car, I lose compounding, which is the ultimate problem in financial planning. The idea, Warren Buffett says, if you can just avoid breaking compound interest, you win by default. And Einstein says that compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And it's true. But we always break compound interest when we buy stuff. And heck, we gotta buy stuff. Life involves buying stuff. So anyway, part of our solution is what's a better way than using the bank's systems, credit cards, student loans, etc.
Okay.
What's a better way than even paying cash? And that's what we specialize in at our firm.
Okay. This is actually a good place to take a break. When we come back, I want you to tell me, how am I supposed to not break that compound system and start banking on my own? So we'll be right back with Mark Willis. He is a certified financial planner and owner of Lake Growth Financial Services.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about how you can become your own source of financing and not rely on banks. Joining me today is Mark Willis. He is a certified financial planner and the owner of Lake Growth Financial Services. Mark, that last segment you described why it's important to get out of that treadmill of using the bank so much or possibly not using cash, because as you said, as soon as you deplete your cash reserves, you're at zero, you're having to start over. So the goal would be to build interest so that you can maybe live off more of the interest that you're earning and not deplete your savings account. But the only way I know how to do that is stick all my money into a bank. So how exactly am I supposed to set up my own financial service?
Well, so we sure can't bank on ourselves when we're using somebody else's bank. If your money is at someone else's bank, they're going to win every single time.
Right.
So I'll start with a statement, then I'll get into how it all happens. So the statement is, we finance everything we buy. We finance everything we buy. Either we pay interest to a credit card, mortgage, student loan. Either we pay interest to a bank.
Okay.
Or we pass up interest we could have earned on the money had we left it in our savings account or money market account or whatever and left it invested instead. So we finance everything we buy, which is a mind-blowing concept if you really stop to think about it. How many dollars leave your pocket? And you'll never see them work for you ever again. They're going to work for somebody else.
Right.
So what's the alternative, Mark? You know, what's the big reveal? Well, I found that there's another way we can buy things where it doesn't stop our compounding. It doesn't stop the growth. And it's a very, of all things in the financial universe, it's a very unexpected place. There was a very interesting variation of a 200-year-old financial asset, dividend-paying whole life insurance. Of all things.
Dividend paying life insurance?
Life insurance. Who'd have thunk? So first of all, those words, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
So I'll break that down for a second, and then I'll come back to how this relates to banking on yourself. Whole life insurance. Now, right there may be some people who are tuning out, so I apologize, Heather, but hopefully not. Stick with us, guys.
Okay, I might be one of these people, but I'm going to stick with you, so you're going to have to make this good.
Sure. So there's two kinds of life insurance. There's the kind you rent and the kind you own. There's term insurance, which is basically renting. There's no equity in term insurance, just like there's no equity when you rent an apartment.
Okay.
You really can't use the death benefit while you're on this side of heaven. Really, it's just for somebody else. So there's no equity and you can't sell it. And the landlord keeps raising the rent on you since you're getting older every year. And then on the other side of the fence, there's whole life insurance or any kind of cash value insurance. That cash value insurance is sort of like owning a home. You build up wealth inside the policy, just like you can build up equity inside your home. There's no landlord to raise the rent on you with whole life insurance, so the premiums don't get more expensive. In fact, it grows on a guaranteed basis every single year for the rest of our life. A guarantee is a rare word in the financial universe, but the insurance companies that back this strategy guarantee you'll have more money in the account this year than you had last year.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how exactly do they guarantee that? I mean, markets go up and down. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where this money is being put in the fund, if it's going into the stock market or not. But how can they guarantee something when nothing is a guarantee? Except death.
Well, you're right. Nothing except death and taxes, as the old saying goes, right? Back to the basic definition of insurance, whether it's health insurance or auto insurance. What is insurance? It's just transferring the risk from you to another party. That's all it is. It's a transfer of risk. So the insurance company's guarantee is as good as you transferring your risk of loss to that balance sheet, to their company. They are the ones that are on the hook to give you that guarantee. They're not investing your money in the stock market. They're not investing your money into anything. It's a life insurance contract. They put the money to work, of course. They're getting yield on their capital. But the interesting thing here is if they lose money, if they pick the wrong bond or real estate deal, then all of a sudden they still have to pay you that guaranteed increase of your cash regardless. They are on the hook rather than you and me.
Okay. So let's say I buy into whole life insurance. How exactly is this going to grow over time, and when can I cash it out? And are there penalty? Like, do you have to sign a, you can't die for 10 more years, or you can't cash it out for 30 years, or what's the catch? There's a catch in here.
Everyone would jump on if we had to somehow like get the guarantee we wouldn't die for a certain number of years. That'd be like Fountain of Youth stuff. That'd be awesome.
Right.
But no, you're bringing up great questions, Heather. So I'll do this in a fun way. TGIF. Great little acronym. It helps me kind of simplify this whole thing, because it took me 7 months to wrap my brain around this, being the kind of CFP that was all in on the stock market, buy term, invest the rest, mutual funds and other, you know, stocks, bonds, ETFs. That was kind of my world. Right. I worked for a CPA that was her world too. So at the end of the day, TGIF kind of helps simplify this. Okay. T stands for tax advantages. It oftentimes, 99% of the time, it can be totally income tax free. In retirement, you can grab the money and enjoy it both now and in the future tax free. So it's like a Roth IRA, but without any restrictions. G stands for guarantees. It's guaranteed to grow for us every single year, no matter what. And the gains I got last year are locked in and guaranteed too. So they can't take away what I earned last year. Three, it is insurance. So right there, I'm covering that need for my family or my beneficiaries or my favorite charity. And I'll always leave for them more than I've saved. Okay. Since it is life insurance, that's just how that works on a mathematical basis. And then lastly, financing. Our need for financing is way greater than our need for insurance. And here's what I mean. How many cars are we going to buy? How many vacations? How many kids' colleges? How many mortgages? You know, how many houses are we going to buy? And just the need for our retirement expenses. That's 20, 30 years right there of just living without an income. We have a massive need to finance. And remember, you finance everything you buy.
Right.
So financing in this tool is very interesting. So let's say I've built up a nice sum. Let's say I've got $100,000 of cash value in my policy. That's the money I can use on this side of the grass while I'm still alive. And let's say I want to buy a car today.
Okay.
So I go to the dealer and I say, I'm going to pay cash for this car, and I'm able to borrow against, be my own banker. I borrow against my policy and I give him $30,000 for the car. Now my policy has a loan against it and I've got the title and whatever to my car and I'm driving my car around. But, and this is crucial, my policy will continue to pay me that guaranteed interest plus dividends as if I had not touched the money on the entire 100 grand. Even the $30,000 I borrowed against pay me a continuous compounding growth on the entire account balance, which is phenomenal.
Because it assumes you're going to pay back that $30,000 loan?
Yes, correct. Either I will pay myself back on my terms. I get to decide how, when, or if I pay the loan off. Because I'm the banker. Remember that, right? We are the banker here. So I could not pay it in 6 months. I could start paying it. I could pay $25 a month or $250 a month. If I never pay off the loan, it'll just be deducted from my death benefit when I pass away. So instead of my family getting, I don't know, pick a number, $500,000, they'll get $500 minus whatever the loan is, and they'll get the remainder income tax-free.
We need to take one more break. When we come back, I want to go into how long do you have to invest into this whole life insurance before you can start cashing in on it as your own banker. So we'll be right back with Mark Willis. He is a certified financial planner and owner of Lake Grove Financial Services. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about becoming your own banker using whole life insurance. Joining me today is Mark Willis. He is a certified financial planner and owner of Lake Grove Financial Services. All right, Mark, I'm still very skeptical on this. You have explained that if you buy a whole life insurance policy, you can borrow against it to buy other things like a car, which was what your example. But first of all, I'm assuming that, let's say today, I open a policy and it's been open 6 months and I've only been putting $100 a month into it. I now want to go buy a car with that whole life insurance policy. I'm kind of guessing it's going to be a no.
Unless you like, what's the old Mattel toy cars, but no, you're right. You would not have enough for a full $30,000 nice new car or something like that. You're right. So let's get into the considerations here, because it's not a perfect fit for everybody. The one thing I'll mention first is this is a long-term financial strategy. You're not going to get rich overnight doing this. Banks don't open up overnight. You know, it takes capitalization. What bank opens their doors without having a big money vault waiting for folks to borrow money from?
Okay.
So you gotta capitalize. Don't be afraid to capitalize the bank. That's one of my rules, one of my rules of thumb when looking at this strategy. Another key piece to this is it's gonna bore you to tears. If you need the roller coaster of Wall Street, you're gonna be sorely disappointed because it's steady middle single digit returns, tax free, right?
Right.
But it sure beats my savings accounts. It sure beats my money market accounts at 4, 5, or 6%. But it's not going to do, you know, Bitcoin level ups. But it's also not going to do Bitcoin level downs, which I kind of like.
Right.
So I would also say quickly that it does mean you are saving to get to that car or to that kid's college fund. We have someone who I'll mention, Jay. He recently started his policy on him and his wife. And he and his wife have W-2 jobs, and they're just, you know, making it work in their life. They got a couple kids, but they set aside a good chunk of their income, sizable chunk of their income, into several whole life policies that we set up for them. And they have since used those policies now to invest in real estate. They do some flips. They do some multifamily real estate investing. But it takes time, and it sure takes patience. So you're exactly right, Heather.
I do want to ask, how do I know that the policy that I am opening is legit? I mean, there's got to be so many scammers out there going, oh, yeah, buy into this whole life insurance. How do you know what the red flags are when you're trying to buy life insurance?
Well, you bring up the best, maybe the best question you can ask as a consumer, just someone trying to figure this whole thing out. If you stumble down this rabbit hole on the internet, you're going to come across YouTube channels and lots more for folks that claim that they can do this for you. Or you call up your insurance agent and they'll say, oh yeah, I can do that for you. If they say that, that's a red flag right there. Why didn't they tell you about this in the first place? And if you're educating your insurance agent, you might have the wrong company. You might have the wrong policy design. The policy might grow tremendously slow or lose some of the tax advantages or both of those things at the same time. I've seen folks think that they had a bank on yourself designed whole life policy, Heather, and it turns out they had a taxable investment account tied to the stock market with an expensive death benefit attached. Now that's different than what we think would be the best solution for bank on yourself. You know, we've got to have a bank on yourself designed policy. And without getting too into the weeds, there's, you know, it's sort of like a USDA organic label. You know, you look at the USDA label, there's probably 30 requirements that piece of food had to go through to get that label.
Right.
But, you know, once they've got it, all you have to know is that a bank on yourself designed policy? And who does that? A bank on yourself professional certified by bank on yourself can handle the design, choose the right companies, make sure it's all built correctly from the ground up to be a bank on yourself designed whole life policy.
What should a typical annual return on this whole life policy be? I mean, if somebody says, I guarantee you a 20% increase every year, I'm guessing run for the hills if somebody says that to you. But is
right.
0.5% way too low? Is that where you're like, ooh, that's the wrong type of insurance?
Well, and literally just yesterday on YouTube, I saw someone saying that they understood this concept and didn't say bank on yourself, by the way, but they called it something else. And they said it's a 22%, you know, guaranteed return. And that to me was a red flag run. It gives, I think, the whole financial industry a bad name when you see stuff like that. Again, there are 400,000 life insurance agents out there. There's over 100,000 investment advisors out there. There's about 30,000 CFPs like myself, certified financial planners out there. You want to find someone who's got your best interest at heart and who has a bank on yourself professional credential in their email signature or somewhere where they're showing it to you clearly. Now, to your question, rates of return. Now, they'll do about, over time, you'll see somewhere in the middle single digits. Like I say, somewhere between 4 and 6% is a good return to look for with whole life insurance over time. That said, the rate of return is part of the equation, but more important to me than the rate of return, because I could always do a little better once or twice in the stock market, right?
Right.
Than that. But the key for me is liquidity and uninterrupted compounding. So I'll break that down quickly. Liquidity. I can access this money at any time for any reason. And to me, that has a certain sense of certainty for my emergency funds, for my kids' college fund, for my kitchen remodel, you know, for our home repair, whatever, for real estate investing. So I like having that liquidity. Now, it's liquid, but it's also going to continuously compound at that boring 4, 5, or 6%. So if I borrow, let's say I borrow my money against the policy and I invest in a real estate deal doing 10%, well, my policy is still doing 5. And now I've got the real estate project doing 10 or whatever it's going to do, not guaranteed. Didn't I just increase my market return without any additional risk? That's a pretty cool way to blend this concept of whole life insurance as a bank, like a bank, with all the rest of the things I was going to do in my life anyway, on a consumer level or on an investor level.
We are running out of time, but I know there is so much more to this that we could learn. Where should people go if they want to learn more?
If folks want to learn more and discuss with me further some strategies, you can go to bit.ly. So that's bit.ly/quickBOY. That's quick, bank on yourself. So quick, BOY.
And the three things I learned today is I can use a whole life insurance policy to bank on myself or to use as my own bank. And I want to make sure whoever I set up the policy with has a bank on yourself title, business card or email or whatever you're, however you're communicating, and that I can borrow on that policy and it will still pay out at the same rate even before I took money out of it.
That's correct.
All right, Mark Willis, you are a certified financial planner and you are the owner of Lake Growth Financial Services. And if people want to know more, then they go to bit.ly/quickBOY. And it's so good to have you on. And I learned something totally new today, which is unusual for me.
Well, it's a wonderful privilege to be on your show. You're doing a great job. Everyone give her 5-star reviews. It's an amazing show and a great network to be a part of with KSL.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.